Amen. Yeah, a lot of old memories. That's exactly right. They're good memories. That's exactly right. We reach back and we think about those things. I miss those days. I wish my dad was here.
Amen.
So many times have. Yes, ma'am.
Amen.
Amen. I'm pretty fond of it my own self. I do. I love you guys so much. I love coming to worship with y'all. Brother Waters, you feeling good tonight? Feeling pretty good? All right. Glory and honor to God. Amen. Glory and honor to God. I was coming back up from the back right there, and Brother Sam pointed him out to me, said, look at there. He's just about to turn back flips over yonder. So I come over and he's feeling good. And I said, thank you, Jesus. So grateful. God's been good to us.
Amen.
Oh my goodness. Let me tell you, I want to take you to the book of St. Mark, I believe is where I want to end up tonight, in chapter number 8. That's where I'll end up. Let me take you to St. Luke first. I want you two fingers on this one. Mark is going to be chapter 8. St. Luke's going to be chapter 23, verse 26. 23, 26 in Luke. In Mark, it's going to be 8:31. Luke 23:26. Luke 23:26. And then I'll give you a chance to get to Mark 8:31 in just a second. But if you got your finger in there, boy, it helps to have those Bibles got those little thumb tabs in them. Amen, Amen, right? Like, Mike just got his new Bible. He's proud of that wonderful Bible. Yeah, that's all right. Cheat stickers will work. That'll work too. Some of them are built in. Some of them are aftermarket. Amen. Mark chapter 8:31. Is the second set of scriptures I'm taking you to. I want to talk to you tonight about sometimes you just got to bear it.
Yeah.
Just got to bear it. Yeah, amen. You been there? Oh, my goodness. You're there now? Okay, well, good. You'll know what I'm talking about. In Luke 23:26, it says, and as they led him away, they laid hold upon one, Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. Now, you guys know the story, but let me tell you the setting. There's the setting. Jesus has been through his beating, his scourging, and he has been sentenced by Pilate to be put to death at the will of the people. And he now is going down the road, the Via Dolorosa, headed to Mount Calvary, and he's having to bear his cross. Now, you've seen it both ways. You've seen it where he carries just the cross beam, and you've seen it where he has the whole cross that he drags. Doesn't matter to me which way it was. It's a miracle that he's alive at this point to begin with. He's been beaten beyond recognition, and his flesh is hanging from his bones. He's unrecognizable as a human. He has lost so much blood and body fluids. Plus, he's been up for probably 24, 36 hours. He should not even be able to walk, let alone drag a cross. And they place the cross upon him, and they head him toward Golgotha's hill, and he carries that cross. I like to think of it as being the whole thing. If you like the cross beam, that's fine with me. I'm not going to argue. But I like to think of it as you see it in the movie, the Passion, and as he's dragging that heavy wooden structure, and every inch of the way is a struggle. About halfway there, we see the story where a man named Simon of Cyrenium came along, and the soldiers grabbed him and forced him to carry the cross of Jesus the rest of the way up the hill to the mountain of Golgotha. so that Christ could be crucified. And then in that time, it says here, and on him, on Simon, they laid the cross that he might bear it. Now, the cross that he was carrying was not his.
That's right.
Amen. Amen?
That's right.
The burden that had been laid upon him was the because of our Lord.
Amen.
And I want you to know that when you get born again, you need to understand that the cross took away your penalty of your sin, but it never took away from you the responsibility of your sufferings.
Yeah, amen.
Somebody that told you that when you get saved, all your troubles is over and you're on easy street from here on out, they lied to you. We're called to join into the sufferings of Jesus Christ, and we're called to carry and bear a cross. But the cross we carry is not our own. It's the cross of Christ. We bear reproach. We should be willing to bear reproach for the one that we call Lord and Savior. I can't imagine what it was like when Simon took that bloody structure of wood and gathered itself underneath it to lift it up. Where his shoulder met is the same place that the bloody shoulder of Jesus had once been.
Yeah.
Where his hands wrapped around that bloody timber, at once the bloody hands of our Savior had wrapped around it. And he too partook in the cross and in the sufferings of our Lord in a very physical way. And we're called to take part in his sufferings in a very spiritual way. So that we too claim identity with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
See, the significance is that if a man bore the cross, it was part of his punishment of being a condemned man, a cursed man. If you remember, I think it might have been in the movie I watched. I can't recall. I believe it was in The Passion that Simon said to the people that were there today, I'm an innocent man. I'm an innocent man. And he took the cross. I'm being forced to do this because to bear that cross was the insignia of the idea that you were a condemned man, that you were guilty, and that you were being punished justly for your offenses. Simon wanted to make sure that everybody knew he was bearing the cross for someone else. God's called us to bear the cross of Jesus so that we might bear the reproaches of our Lord. Now, I don't know if you know this or not. If you've been saved or you've been very active as a saved person, you do. But I want you to know, being a Christian is not the most popular thing you can do in this world.
That's right.
I don't understand why folks are so afraid and offended by. I would think that an employer would want a Christian employee more than anybody else if you're truly a Christian.
Right.
You would think that that people that was in any organization would want to recruit people that were born again believers more than anybody else. But the problem is that most of the time that will be a detriment to you. It'll be something that will hold you back if it was two candidates for one position and one was a Christian and one was not. You're probably the one that's not going to be chosen.
Yeah, right. Amen.
Because of the way this world perceives Christianity.
Yeah.
Right.
You'll bear the reproaches of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Right.
But we've been called to bear it. I told you just a few moments ago, I called this bear it. Just bear it. We see in Simon, in his carrying the cross, we see a picture of the work of the church throughout all the ages. The church is the cross bearer after Jesus. That's you and I, the church. I want you to take notice now. Christ doesn't suffer so it exclude our suffering. He bears the cross, not that we can escape it, but that we can endure it.
Yeah.
He bore the cross so that we can bear the cross. Christ does exempt us from sin, but he does not exempt us from sorrow.
Yeah.
You're going to go through some stuff.
Amen.
Remember that and expect that you're going to have to suffer sometimes.
That's right.
But you could be comforted with this thought, that in our case, as in Simon's case, it's not our cross, but it's Christ's cross that we carry. When you're mistreated for living a godly life, when your faith brings the trial of cruel mockings upon you, I want you to remember it's not your cross, it's Christ. And how delightful it is to carry the cross of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What a blessed thing it is.
Amen.
Sometimes just doing the right thing will bring a reproach upon you. Do you understand that? When you do what is right, when you align yourself with people that are just in need, you're going to take on their reproaches upon yourself. It's just the way it is. Don't you be afraid to bear that cross.
Amen.
Be ready and willing and be aware that you're going to have to suffer for the cause of Christ. There's going to come a day in this country in which we live that you're going to have to make up your mind whether you in or whether you out.
That's right. Amen.
There won't be no fence straddling. There won't be no halfways.
That's right.
Folks, you either need to really trust and believe and know that you bear the cross of Jesus Christ with an honest and true heart, or you better lay it down and run to the hills.
Yeah.
Because I'm telling you, there's going to be a persecution. Not long after Christ's crucifixion on the cross, there was a time of peace with Christians, but then there came a strong persecution, very strong persecution. That persecution has gone on through the centuries, in fact. I read this, and I wish I'd have wrote down, because I read it some time ago, but I wish I'd have wrote down the statistics, but there have been more. Now, you talk about fatalities in wars, but there's been more people die for their faith than there's been in all the wars that have ever taken place throughout history. More people have died because of their faith in Jesus Christ than for any other reason.
That's right.
All the wars put together. That's an amazing amount. We don't hear about it much here, but there is still people being put to death in third world countries today because of their faith in Jesus Christ.
That's right.
We don't hear it much.
That's
exactly right. There's those places, Brother Frank, in Africa. There's places that are in Muslim-controlled areas in the Middle East. There's a persecution that has fell upon the church once again, and people are losing their freedoms and their lives. Sometimes it's done publicly. We get appalled when we see there was, how many men was it they killed at one time, beheaded them on the beach? Was it 9, 13?
13,
I think, something like that. Men beheaded on the beach. Just took it right off for the cause of Christ. It's an amazing thing. We look back at things in our own country. It wasn't that many years ago when that was the Columbine High School incident happened. And remember, that young man was trying his best to get that young lady to renounce her faith in Jesus Christ, and she wouldn't do it. What did that have to do with anything? What was he after? It's the spirit of the Antichrist that has come into this world seeking to destroy.
That's right.
But she loved Jesus more than she loved her own life.
Amen.
Oh my goodness. I'm going to let a cat out of the bag. Our deacons have been talking about active shooter programs and plannings so that we could be prepared should somebody come in here and do the same thing to us. And line you up and say, hey, either denounce him or die. We've been wondering what we should do and how we could end up that we might send him to Allah before he sends us to Jesus. There's so many examples that we see in our modern news stories, and most of it gets diluted and covered up because it's attacks against Christianity. It's an amazing thing, but you let one group of so-called Christians maybe march on an abortion clinic or something, and it makes headlines.
Yeah,
that's right.
Which I'm not advocating that type of stuff. I'm just saying that it seems like anywhere you go, Christians are perceived to be the negative influence in society.
Yeah.
It was true in the day that Jesus lived, and it's still true today. Now, Jesus said something. I don't know if you've ever, I wish I'd have looked this one up too. Boy, it's coming to me now. Thank you, Lord. Jesus said, if they persecute me, they're going to persecute you also. And they did. Amen. Don't even think that you're going to get out of it. You're going to align yourself with Christ. There's going to come persecution. What's your advice, Pastor? Bear it.
That's right. Amen.
Bear it. Gladly bear it. When they say to you, are you sure you're a Christian? At whatever cost it may be to me, yes, I am. I am a follower of Jesus Christ. Amen. And let them know. Simon of Cyrene bore the cross after Jesus. Oh, my goodness. I want you to keep in mind that if you carry the cross after him, you're in the best of company.
Amen.
Woo! Now I want to shout. You're in a good number, man. Bless God. If you follow him, even if it costs you your life, you're in good company. First of all, your path is marked with the footprints of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ himself. Amen. Oh, my goodness. First and foremost, that's where you have the footprints of the Lord in front of you. You have the mark of his blood-red shoulder on that heavy burden that you carry. It's his cross, and he goes before you as a shepherd goes before his sheep. He's leading the way. You're not going anywhere that he hasn't already gone. And then I want to tell you about the ones that came after him, how Peter and Paul and James and all the apostles and disciples and church leaders of early years, how they suffered for the cause of Christ. If we have to suffer, all I can say is I'm in good company.
Amen.
Oh, I wanted to bring to you so badly, I wanted to bring to you the story of Polycarp. Polycarp had been accused of his Christian faith of heresy, and had been brought into the prisons, and they said they were going to they finally decided what they were going to do is burn him at the stake. And he told them, he said, if that's what God's will is, that's what I'll do. He would not renounce his faith. In fact, when they put him into the bramble that they had put around the stake there, he told them, don't worry about tying me down to the stake. I won't run. I promise you, I won't run. And so they lit the bramble on fire. They did not tie him there. And he reached into the fire and he pulled the burning embers up around him. The fire was leaping off of all the bramble that was around him. He pulled it up to his body and he kept pulling it up. And it seemed as though the fire had no effect on him. He just was in there, and it was like the fire wasn't doing anything to him. So listen, this is what they did. They said, we're going to have to kill him another way. So they thrust him through with a sword. When they thrust him through with a sword, there was so much blood that ran out of him, it put the fire out. But he would not renounce faith in the Lord. As people would go by, they could see the Spirit of God all over this whole situation as they looked into the fire at the man of God being consumed. There were people that witnessed that event that day that gave their heart and their mind, their life to Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Why? Because if a man's going to die for his faith, he must really believe what he says he believes.
That's right.
Right? Men won't die for a lie.
That's right.
They won't die for a lie, but they will die for the truth.
Amen.
Amen. So the persecution that comes upon us, man, brings us into these kind of wonderful company of people that have gone on before us. I want you to remember, although Simon had to bear the cross for a very short time, it gave him a lasting honor. We still talk about Simon today. He was an unknown that came into the life of Jesus for a brief moment to carry the cross, maybe a few hundred yards. And just because of that, we still talk about him today. In the same way, the cross that we carry is only for a brief moment. And we'll soon receive our crown of glory.
Amen.
Surely we should love the cross. Surely we should be excited about the fact that we too will suffer in this present world for Jesus Christ. Instead of shrinking away from it, we should count it a very dear opportunity.
Amen.
It's not our shame.
That's
It's our glory. It's our glory that we be named with the one who gave himself a sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. If I can take you to Mark chapter 8, I want to read to you just a few verses and I'm going to let you go tonight. Oh, I feel the Lord so strong up in here. I tell you, I'm just so thankful. This morning and this evening, the last several Sundays, has just God's been pouring his spirit out in ways I can't even tell you. Y'all just keep praying. God will use us. And God will come in when we worship him. Amen. Mark chapter 8, starting in verse number 31. I want you to listen. Mark 8:31. Got it?
Amen.
And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. Remember, Jesus is letting his disciples know what's going to take place. And he spake that saying openly. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Talking about Jesus. Peter took Jesus over to the side and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Look at verse 33. "For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of man." Why was Peter rebuking Jesus? Jesus was saying, "I'm going to be betrayed and killed." Peter loves Jesus so much. "Not so, Lord. We won't let that happen. We'll stop it somehow. We won't go to Jerusalem, or we'll all fight for you," or whatever he was saying. It's not going to happen. And Jesus turned around and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan. You care about the things of this world." That's what savorist means. You got an appetite for the things of this carnal world. You don't have an appetite after the things of God. Savorest the things of this world and not the things of God. That's what he said to him.
Amen.
Don't stand in my way.
Right.
Don't keep me from doing what God's called me to do.
Amen.
If God's called me to do something, then I must do what God's called me to do.
Amen.
Don't hinder.
Right.
If it's to suffer for the Lord, so be it. Pray for me, kiss me, love me on my way, and let me suffer.
Amen.
And pray that I'll be strong in my faith.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
So Jesus rebukes Peter. Says, "You savor the things that are of this world." I understand how loving a gesture Peter was giving. But his loving gesture was self-serving. "I don't want to let you go.
Yep.
We don't want to lose you. We believe you're going to be the next great ruler. You're going to be king one day, and we want to be on the throne next to you. We don't want to let you go. We're not going to let that happen." And Jesus told him immediately that he savored the things of this world, not the things of God.
Amen.
Oh, that was powerful in its statement alone. And so he told him, he said, get thee behind me. You don't even know what you're talking about. And in verse 34, "And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Not hinder me, not stop me. Anybody that will follow me, anybody that will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. I know you know these verses. Have you ever seen them quite like this? Listen to me. He's talking about if you would rather preserve your living here on this earth than to suffer and die for Christ, you will lose your life.
Yeah.
You savorest not the things of God. You savorest the things that be of man. You're thinking this world is your home. I don't know if I'm getting across to you or not, but you can't be, you'll never be as effective a Christian as you really want to be down inside, I believe with all of my heart, but you'll never be that effective Christian till you learn how to separate yourself from this world a little bit.
Amen. That's right.
Get away from where things mean so much to you.
That's right.
And people.
That's right.
And your own life.
Yep.
You got to separate that. Oh, listen to me. There's some of you here tonight that there's nothing in this world more precious than your family, including Jesus.
Amen.
Some of you would do anything to save your family, including giving up on Jesus. You would do it. You would do it. In fact, you may do it every week. I don't know. You may do it in your denying of the Lord every week by the way you conduct yourself. I don't know. There's some folks that go there. There's some folks that would rather forsake their commitment to the Lord than they had lose their job. Because that's how much they think of their job. Some people have a reputation, and that reputation is so vital to you, you would rather do anything. You would rather lose your faith in Christ than to be able to have to lose your reputation or your finances, or we could go on and we could go on and we could go on. And Jesus said, if you're going to come after me, you're going to have to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. If I could take you to the other scriptures, I'd show you where Jesus said that any man that's put his hand to the plow and looks back is not worthy.
Yeah. Right.
And any man has to learn that he has to forsake homes and lands and family and mother and father and sisters and brothers and take up his cross and come and follow me. What can be between you and Jesus?
Nothing.
He has to be number one. Now listen, that scares some people and they think, oh my gosh, that means I'm going to lose my family. Listen to me, if you don't choose to lose them, you will surely lose them.
That's right.
Look at what he said here. Let me take you back to this verse again. He said, whosoever shall save his life, verse 35, you might save it. You might go on living, but you shall lose your life for my sake. I'm sorry, let me read it again. Where did I lose that? Yeah, that's it. Whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. That's good enough right there. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. So you can hold on to it here. You can hold on to it here by forsaking him and you're going to lose it.
That's right.
That's what he said. Or you can lose your life for his sake and you'll save your life. You'll preserve it. He will give it to you 100-fold over again in this life and in the world to come. I don't know if you're getting what I'm talking to you about today. I'm talking about a radical Christianity. I'm talking about where you get so Jesused up to where you can't hardly stand to be around yourself. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about where Jesus becomes such a reality in your life that you're not the person that you were before. Things become so different. Your attitudes change. Your thought patterns change. Romans 12:2 says that we need to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind so that we begin to respond to things differently than we used to. When somebody slaps us on one side of the face, we look at them and love them and tell them about Jesus. Huh? Everybody's going like, Lord God, buddy.
Yeah.
Jesus, what you talking
about? Right.
Yeah. Isn't that what Jesus said, though?
Yeah, amen.
Jesus said, you have heard to love your brothers. He said, but I say unto you, you have heard to love those that do good unto you. He said, I say unto you that thou shalt love thine enemy.
Yeah.
Amen. And to do good to them that despitefully use you.
That's right.
I'm sitting right in your lap tonight. I hear you. I am talking to you.
Amen.
There's things that we hold in our heart. We come in and raise our hands and shout glory and thank you, Lord, and how good God's been to us. And we go out of here holding on to all types of anger and animosity and guilt and revenge. Is that right? Man, if I was to throw a rock in a pen full of dogs, somebody would yelp.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that it's the truth. And he said we got to learn to let these things go and trust him. Walk in the right way and be willing to suffer. Be willing to take the wrong, to be wronged for the cause of Christ. What's wrong with us just saying, yes, I'm sorry, I did that. Yes, I am guilty. I'm around people all the time that are constantly making excuses for the wrong they've done. Amen. Just admit it.
That's right.
Confess it before the Lord. That was the other part of that, that devotional I got this morning out of Brother Dave's class. You can't get the resolved commitment for the answer from God until you admit the guilt of your sin.
Amen.
Once you admit that, you say, oh, wretched sinner that I am, I think is the verse out of Romans 7. Oh, wretched sinner that I am, who would deliver me from the body of this death? Then you say, I thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He will. But before you can get to there, you got to come clean here.
Amen.
And you got to trust Him with that. Gosh, I wish I could preach to you tonight. I'd tell you a couple things. I would tell you that tonight what God wants. Listen, we come to church week after week and service after service. And y'all either the holiest people or the most ungodliest people I've ever met. I'm not sure which. We ought to be wearing those altars out. Out. And yet I see week after week after week, apparently we don't have anything we need to pray about. We don't have anything we need to repent about. We don't have anything that we need to surrender to God. We don't have anything we need to ask God help with. We don't have anything in our hearts that we're burdened about enough to bring it to the Lord. I don't know. Are we just thinking that we've fulfilled our responsibility when we walk in the door and sit in the pew?
No way.
He came to give us life. And He come that we might have the opportunity. I know I'm talking to just a few tonight, but you're the few that's here.
Amen.
Our responsibility as believers is to have a radical, intimate relationship with the Holy God.
Amen.
We need to lead somebody in the right direction. We sit, they're going to sit. We don't sing, they're not going to sing. We don't praise, they won't praise.
That's
right. We don't pray, they won't pray.
That's right.
We don't confess, they won't confess.
Right.
We don't witness, they won't witness.
Right.
We got to lead the way. It's got to be somebody that says, I want to have that radical type of relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm sick and tired of being a halfway Christian. I want God all up in my life. And you say, oh, brother, buddy, when I do that, people start thinking that somehow I become over the edge, an ultra Christian. Bear it. Bear it for the cause of Christ. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Yeah.
Amen. So that we could be made one with Him. We have no reason that we should ever be ashamed of Him.
That's right.
In fact, Jesus said that we need to make sure that we are not ashamed of Him before men on this earth, or He would be ashamed of us before His Father, which is up in heaven. My heart is burdened for us tonight. We got to bear it. Let me see if I can finish Mark 8. Then we'll go. Verse 36. For what shall it profit a man? What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world, but it cost him his soul? Gains the whole world and you lose your own soul. Yeah, you can spare your life maybe by denying Him. You can spare somebody's feelings in your family by not speaking up when God tells you to speak up. By not witnessing when God tells you to witness. By not praising when God tells you to praise. Here I go again. You know where I'm headed. You might spare yourself that, but what have you gained? if it costs you your soul. Or verse 37 says, or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What's so valuable to you that you'd be willing to give up your fellowship, your relationship with Jesus Christ, the preeminence of Christ in your life? To preserve your marriage, your relationship with your kids? What is it? Your position on the job? Your image in front of the others? Your standing in the family? Verse 38, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. There's a price to be paid for being a Christian. I know salvation is free, but it costs to be a Christian. Amen. I encourage you tonight to be willing to pay that cost. That's all I have for you tonight.